Time to pull up a chair and talk some Dynasty football. I am your host, J.J. Wetter, and this is the Rider Dynasty podcast. Jameson, the Steelers declined Najee Harris's fifth-year option. Do you think this means he is out after the season?
Fits the trend like all the other running backs, probably. But we've seen these running backs on these last, you know, contracts get rejected and they end up having their best seasons ever. So I think the Steelers, which we'll get into here in a little bit, the Steelers had a really good draft kind of going back to their roots, you know, picking up offensive linemen. Roman Wilson's a guy who pretty much laid the lumber as a wide receiver, not as just a finesse guy, but can get blocking and all that stuff. So I expect the Steelers to establish it a whole lot. I mean, Najee Harris, I think he's had the past three seasons over 1,000 yards. So, I mean, I wouldn't expect anything less to him. I expect him to have a good year, get a lot of production, and then, you know, we'll kind of see from there. But not the most surprising thing on earth.
Joe, Zeke is going back to Dallas. Now, my only question for you, and it's a simple one, will he be an RB1 next year or the RB1? Joe Harlow, go ahead.
Zeke Elliott, the RB1 in 2024? Wow. What a take that would be. But no, okay. I think he can be a borderline RB1 for this season. There's no one else in the depth chart. Still a good blocker. It's going to be there. They're going to might as well use him. And still think he showed some talent, but I'm still putting 70% of prime Zeke out there over Rico Dowdle. So
that is true. That is a good point. All right. Well, tonight on the Rider Dynasty podcast, we're going to be breaking down our top three favorite landing spots, and we're going to give you one of our least favorite as well. Plus, if you stick to the end, you're going to hear some honorable mentions. But before we kick off, if you want to get the jump on your competition for your drafts, I'll tell you what is a great fit. Our comprehensive 2024 IDP Plus rookie guide is here. You can get the rookie draft guide for a limited time for only $9.99. Our latest version includes all of the post-draft feedback you need to dominate your drafts. Whether the wide receiver went to Washington or LSU, check out the link in the show description and download your copy today. Now, gentlemen, we have been talking about rookies for months, and now we have Now we know where they will call home for the immediate future. However, not all homes are the same. So, Joe, what is your favorite landing spot for a rookie?
My favorite landing spot, I'm going to go with Byron Murphy II, the defensive tackle out of Texas, now with the Seattle Seahawks. One pick after my Colts went, still happy with their pick. But Murphy, he ended up being my top overall defensive player pre-draft, and in a D-tackle league, if you're on MFL or one of those other platforms that uses DTs, I am willing to take him as the first IDP, honestly. I think he, assuming balanced scoring, of course, but I think he has great sack upside. If he turns into the next Justin Madubuike, which convenient that he is now with Mike McDonald, Murphy, that is, I think that he could really be a double-digit sack guy. Like, maybe not year one, but year two, three, as he gets the second contract, I think he could be a consistent double-digit sack player. He has great power, great just hand usage. He is shorter for a D-tackle, but that gives him some natural leverage, which he uses really well. The length does take out some of the batted ball chances, so you aren't going to get that PBU upside. But I think, yeah, if he's getting double-digit sacks and is a tough defender against the run as he was at Texas, just need him to be on the field more than he was there, and he could really be a dominant DT1 for a decade to come. Love the fit.
Love to hear that. Definitely going to put him on my radar because we have a defense draft coming up soon. Might try to snipe him from you. Spoiler. Jameson, day one, what was your favorite landing spot?
I'm going to go with Laiatu for the Colts. I think that this might be the final chess piece for this defensive line. Gus Bradley, you know, he's going to run the zone. He's just going to let his defenders do work. He's not going to blitz. Ever since he came back from his injury, 22.5 sacks over the last two seasons. So the production's there. You know, there was a clip for Chris Ballard who said, "We got the best effing defensive player in the draft." Just how we saw the first half of the draft go with all offense. So I really like him. You know, when you got Kwity Paye, former first rounder, Dio Dangbo, the second rounder, his Achilles, seems like he's finally kind of came into his own the second half, kind of recovering from that. You got Grover Stewart, one of the best run tackle DTs in the league. And then, you know, DeForest Buckner, who they just re-signed again this year. They got a bunch of, I hate to say it, like B players. And then, you know, you hope that Latu's finally like the TJ Watt or the Nick Bosa, the one that can kind of take over for a game. And I think he could, like I said earlier, could finally be the final chess piece to get this defensive line going. So I really liked him. I thought he was the, you know, number one defensive player, and obviously the Colts did too, compared to some of these other guys. But I really like the landing spot. I think he's going to do a lot of good stuff with Gus Bradley's zone defense this year. And I think the upside is, you know, he's just a technician. I like him a lot, and I think it's a perfect landing spot for him.
Yeah, I love Latu going there. I just saw that they just picked up Kwity Paye's fifth year option. Yep. So,
and he's had, Kwity Paye's had his moments, but it just, I don't think it's turned out as, he's not a guy who's going to take over. Dio Dangbo, I brought up earlier, he's done some okay stuff. Not as good as he was at Vanderbilt when he was kind of taking over games, but like I said, they've got a lot of good players. They need a great player. And I think that Latu can do that for them.
All right. Well, I guess it's my turn. So day one, and I know. I'm being a homer with this pick. However, when everyone was yelling that the Jets were going to draft Brock Bowers, I was standing resolute saying, no, they will not, and that they're going to go with the tackle. Now, I was pushing for Fuaga, and I am over the moon that we did get Olufashinu. I'm not sure if there's a better landing spot for the big man from Penn State. He's not forced to start. He will start this year, but he has the opportunity to learn from two solid veteran tackles, Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses, two 30-year-old plus offensive tackles. Lots of combined experience between them. In my opinion, this line went from one of the worst in the NFL last year to at least an average line. I'm not going as far to say they're a great line. They're not. But if they can get to average, right? That's all we're looking for here. So that's all they really need to be successful, and a healthy year from Aaron Donald. But that's it. Those two things. And I think we're going to have a good year. That's why I think Fashanu, just, it's a good spot for him. I don't know. Do you guys agree with me or am I crazy?
I love it. Olu ended as my OT1, actually. I've been on him for a long time, and I love it for you guys.
Yeah, the biggest, you know, I wanted Fuaga because I thought he could push inside or stay outside at tackle. Fashanu is definitely not pushing into tackle, but I don't know. He reminds me of DeBrickashaw Ferguson, who is one of my favorite Jets of all time.
It's a good one. It's a blast from the past. I think it's a good fit for him too. You got to keep Aaron Rodgers upright. I know he's got all the, you know, the tools, and you know, everybody wishes they could do Brock Bowers, which we'll get into him in a little bit. But I just thought that going tackle here, kind of going for the future, but to keeping Aaron Rodgers upright, that's more important to than him throwing it to somebody if he's just going to get killed, kind of like the Joe Burrow stuff early in his career.
Duck and Chuck. Yeah, we don't want that. All right, Joe, what is your favorite landing spot for day two?
I am going to go with one of my favorite wide receivers in this class, someone who I was higher on than consensus, and he's the player who's paired up with my quarterback one from this class. That is Jalen Polk to the New England Patriots, wide receiver from Washington. A lot of people saw it as a reach. I did not. Again, he finished as my wide receiver 6 in the class, just behind the elite talents of Adonai Mitchell and Brian Thomas Jr. Also love their spots, but we're not going to smuggle too much here. I think Polk is a great fit with May. He's someone who does turn a 50-50 ball, which May will throw a risky pass, try to fit one in there over the middle, try to just get a big play when all else fails. And Polk can turn a 50-50 ball into a 70-30 ball. He was dominant as a contested catch receiver. You see from Matt Harmon's perception had almost an 85% win on contested catches. PFF had him at over 55%. So just an elite number there. And he does struggle a bit with some separation. Maybe that's why there were so many options at contested catches, but also with Michael Penix, there were some throwing into there intentionally or not. He's a psychopath over the middle, like a Brandon Ayuk, which is a good thing because he will go over the middle. He'll take hits. He'll adjust to the ball over the middle and will really just make plays when the quarterback's under duress, which with that Patriots O-line might be often early on. He doesn't offer much after the catch, but he does enough, similar to like how we talked about with Marvin Harrison, who isn't going to make crazy big plays, but will get what's there. It's not just a catch and fall sort of player. I think he has some of the best hands in the class, top, not Marvin Harrison level, but pretty darn close. He reminds me a lot of, honestly, like a Chris Godwin. I don't think he's not that level of an athlete, but I think he can really give you a lot. Nasty run blocking will keep him on the field. And I think he's someone who could be a legit wide receiver too for a long time. And in a startup draft, I'd be willing to take him, or in a rookie draft, I should say, I'd be willing to take him middle of the second round. I would take him towards the top of the second round, but in a super flex, but I've seen him fall into the third round in a lot of them. So I think he can be a really good value. Not a superstar, but someone who can give you legit wide receiver two numbers for a while.
Well, they're definitely going to need a wide receiver one there for the foreseeable future. But I'm interested to see what the new iteration of the Patriots is going to be, right? We knew what they were for so long under Belichick. So I don't know. I'm very excited to see what comes next. And
I'm as well. Just, I think a lot of people just can't get the stench off of what they saw with Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi. And I really like Drake May a lot. I know it's not going to be a total flip, but we just saw with CJ Stroud, like before they came, Houston was like a poverty franchise and everybody's making fun of them, all the turmoil. And within one season, they're in the playoffs and CJ Stroud's top five quarterback. I'm not saying it's going to be that soon, but I just think a lot of people are down on Drake May and then Polk as well, who I think, especially in dynasty formats, your rookie drafts right now, I'm sitting at 2-8 and I'm contemplating him and Adonai Mitchell. And I kind of want to link Polk because I think he'll get more work. I mean, he can end up wide receiver two. I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up wide receiver one for the Patriots just because the rest of the depth chart is pretty ugly. You got Thornton, Douglas, Juju Smith-Schuster, or Bourne, excuse me, not Douglas. But it just, I like the pick a lot, and I'm glad that Joe talked about him because I do think he's going vastly underrated in drafts right now.
Well, since you're talking
another smuggle, Javon Baker, the fourth round pick for the Pats, is also a sneaky upside shot. Who,
yeah,
Patriots were honestly crushed this draft.
I hate to hear that,
but you guys, Jets crushed it too. Olu, some other fun players later on. Thought it was good overall.
We'll see.
A healthy Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, listen, I'm a Jets fan. I don't fall for what looks good in the offseason. I'll wait till week one to get excited.
That's fair.
All right, Jameson, who is your favorite landing spot of day two?
I'm going to go Jermaine Burton to Cincinnati. I think it's just an unbelievable fit for him. I think it's a wide receiver one talent. I didn't think the offense at Alabama the last year really showcased that. They had some character concerns, but when he got drafted, it was TJ Houshmandzadeh was the one that went up to the podium and has been kind of the mentor to him. I don't think there's a better mentor than TJ, one of the most underrated wide receivers in history, I think. Really good for Cincinnati back in the day. I think at Alabama, he was more of a deep threat, but I do think he showcases a lot more than that. And right now, I think he slides into the wide receiver three role. Last year, some of it was because of Joe Burrow, but Ja'Marr Chase played in the slot more than he ever has. They've moved him around a lot. T. Higgins, this is probably going to be his last year. If he leaves, I think if Jermaine Burton produces, he'll just fly right into the wide receiver too and could be really productive. I'm really banking on a bounce back for Joe Burrow, and I do think that Jermaine Burton can have some fantasy upside this season. Even if he's a wide receiver three, you know that Cincinnati's going to throw the hell out of the ball, and I think he's just a perfect wide receiver for him. I think he's got a ton of upside, and I know Ja'Marr Chase is the one, but I think he could I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up in like T. Higgins land as far as, you know, pedigree here in the next couple of years, because I definitely think the talent is there.
Now, you're not at all concerned about, I keep hearing about his off the field concerns, right? Like PFF was talking about how highly they would have ranked him if it wasn't for everything else. What is the everything else?
It's, well, he had a game, they had the crowd coming onto the field and he punched a couple people. Not the, you know, not going to defend it, but it's not the best thing. But I, you know, we got guys drunk driving and all that sort of stuff. And then the only other thing that came up, he switched a bunch of schools in middle school and high school. He went a bunch of different places. Some of that, you know, he might just worn out his welcome. Some of it, I do think, comes from, honestly, NIL and just how you can bounce around. It's not like you stay at one school anymore, especially in high school. If you got somebody, hey, we can make sure you get to a better college if you go here to a prep academy or anything like that. I think, I'm not saying that's part of it, but it's, he seems like, I think he'll be okay. And I know Cincinnati back in the day had the reputation of getting a bunch of, you know, non-disciplined guys. You know, think about Pac-Man Jones, Vontaze Burfict, late Chris Henry would be another one. But I think it's a different team. I think Joe Burrow's a leader. I think Zach Taylor's a leader. It's a totally different Bengals team from the past, and I think this is a great spot for him to learn, especially from two of the best wide receivers in the game, and, you know, step right in into the wide receiver three role and ball out.
Awesome. Answered my question. Well, my day two pick might be a bit of a surprise, but I'm going with the Carolina Panthers drafting Jonathan Brooks. Now, last week we spoke with Sebastian about his injury and the fact that he might take a few weeks to ramp up, get back into full game shape, sort of like we saw Breece Hall last year. But we aren't focused on the short term here on Rider Dynasty. We're looking for that year too. This is a young team with solid weapons, finally, right? For Bryce Young. They added Deontay Johnson, Xavier Leggett, Jatavion Sanders. All to just the passing attack, which is certain to open up some lanes for him. Now, the offensive line was terrible last year, and they're not going to be great this year. But hopefully they will be better and continue to build that line in the next offseason. But for me, I think that Brooks can be a low-end RB2 this year, right? They're going to feed him the ball, right? That's what Canales likes. He likes to feed the running back. He did it last year in Tampa Bay. He's going to do it again this year. So look for a second half surge as his ACL completely heals. He gets more comfortable. And I love this landing spot for him.
I agree. I think out of all the landing spots he could have went outside maybe Dallas, I think this is the one. And this is a guy I'm going to be targeting heavily. I know we talked a little bit about, you know, he might not produce year one as much, and then people might get a little impatient. But I think, you know, round one in rookie drafts, especially the late end, I'd be very comfortable taking him there, especially if you're running back needy. And outside of Chuba Hubbard, I don't think Miles Sanders is a threat. And, I mean, we saw what Canales did with Rashad White, ended up being one of the best running backs in fantasy last year. So I think the wheel's up for him. I think it's just an awesome place to land. Offensive line's getting better. Got a coordinator who did a lot of good stuff with Baker Mayfield last year. And I just, I'm very high on Jonathan Brooks as well.
It's good to hear. Yep. I'm glad I'm not alone.
Jonathan Brooks. Love Brooks. I think the landing spot, yeah, could be a little sketchy, but don't think we talked about Carolina just beefed up their interior offensive line, mm-hmm. moving Austin Corbett to center, and then two massive contracts to guards. And two tackles that have some potential, at least. And Taylor Moten is the right tackle. And then former top six pick, Ikea Kwanu, who needs to get back to form. And it makes a lot of sense. Maybe some struggles this year, but he's the RB1 for me still.
We just have to get the offensive line back to average.
Yep.
They don't have to be great for success.
Crap to decent is a massive change in the NFL.
In anything, really, crap to decent is a good change. Speaking of being decent, what, Joe, what is your favorite landing spot for day three?
I'm going to stick with the running back position and go with Tyrone Tracy Jr., the running back, former wide receiver from Purdue, formerly from Iowa, who, when he was at Iowa, was a wide receiver and was used, you know, as Iowa wide receivers are used, which is not at all. Shown by their punter this year out gaining their offense. So, yeah, that's a great stat. But anyway, But Tracy actually snuck into my top 100 overall, I think at number 100 pre-draft. absolutely loved him. I know he did on a couple like the PFF guys boards as well, which cool. Yeah, he ended up as my running back 6 as well. I don't think he would be quite as high since he fell to the fifth round. But with New York, there's really not much competition there. It's Devin Singletary, who's been really good with 3 consecutive 1,000-yard scrimmage seasons. But do we really think he's a 80% workload guy? No? Yeah? No? Probably not. And then elsewhere on the depth chart is Gary Brightwell, Eric Gray, Deion Jackson, Deshaun Corbin, who I formerly loved as a scat back type, but hasn't really been used. And Tracy, he is electric. He's a great athlete. And the 4.48 isn't speed, 40-yard dash isn't like overwhelming, but all the other metrics are absurd. Great lateral agility. You can see that he was a wide receiver with his receiving ability, his routes. Pass pro, he's a work in progress, but he just started playing the position and he shows a lot of willingness to block, which is honestly half the battle. Like, you see a lot of running backs who just have no interest in it. That's the thing with like a Braylon Allen. It's like, how interesting
is I was just going to say, like Braylon Allen.
Yeah, but hey, and yeah, it's just, he's 24, but also he just switched to running back full-time this season. So this past season, the vision also needs some work, but again, he just switched the position and there's glimpses. He's at least trying with it and working at it and definitely improved over the season. I think he ended up leading the Big Ten in rushing yards per attempt this year, like 6.3, 6.4. Yeah, he is an electric player. I don't think he'll ever be like a horse back, but he can be a running back, a lead of a committee or second of the 1B of a good committee.
Yep.
I think he can really be an electric player, a nice handcuff to flex play. And if you're in a league with return yardage, then with the new return rules, I think he could really be something there, because he showed a lot of return. I think he was an all Big Ten returner twice with Iowa and Purdue. I believe I'm not 100% on that, but multiple return touchdowns. I think he could really electrify a team there.
I'm low-key excited for the new kickoff rule.
It's going to be fun, especially in those fantasy leagues with those yardage points.
Yes, and I like all those leagues. Mm-hmm. All right, day 3. Jameson, what was your favorite landing spot?
I'm going to go with the running back out of Troy, Kamani Vidal, going to the Chargers. I think there's a sneaky chance that he ends up the running back 1 for Jim Harbaugh and Greg Roman. They've got Gus Edwards, the Gus Bus, who doesn't really have the juice, got a lot of power. And then the only other person they have is J.K. Dobbins, who's only guaranteed $50,000. Coming off a torn Achilles. We've seen the injury history. It just, no offense, it just doesn't happen. And especially from last year. So I want to say, not wishing it, but if something happened to Gus Edwards, I think that Vidal can go in there, end up the RB1 for Jim Harbaugh, who's going to run the piss out of the ball. You know, they just picked out a offensive tackle, number 5th overall. You know, they're going to establish it. He's actually a really good pass blocker and he can catch balls out of the backfield. So he's pretty versatile there. 5'8", 215, a little undersized, but, you know, just look last year at Michigan. Blake Corum just, you know, ran it inside the 20. They didn't do anything besides run the ball, so it's touchdown upside. I really like him. You know, Tracy was my original guy until Joe sniped that for me, and I'll handle him later. But I think there's the 2 late-round guys. I wouldn't be surprised if they move up a little bit in rookie drafts. I don't think Vidal ends up being the sleeper. I think people are starting to catch on. But I like his landing spot, and I'd rather draft him over some of these more high-profile guys like Jalen Wright and, you know, Braylon Allen and some of these other guys. I like Vidal a lot more.
Jameson had the order been switched around a little bit and you picked first and got Tracy, I probably would have gone Kamani Vidal as well.
So there we go.
I found it interesting that Waldman in his RSP had Vidal as the 5th ranked running back overall. Oh. I was like, oh.
A lot of people didn't know who he was until draft night. I know Thor Nystrom from Fantasy Pros hyped him up a lot too. Just when you get these running backs, you want landing spot for fantasy. And, you know, we'll talk about some sleepers we don't really love, but as far as landing spot, it doesn't get much better than this for him. He's really only has to beat out 1 person. That's Gus Edwards, I think, personally. So
I agree
him and Tracy, just 2 guys who say injury happens, they walk right into a RB1 workload.
And just throw another name real quick, just Rasheem Ali, former Marshall, now with Baltimore. I think also kind of fits the Tracy Vidal mold. We're not going to talk about him later, but just another one to throw in there.
You always love throwing in one more. You're like a DJ Khaled.
I love a smuggle. I love a smuggle. Hey, I'm a Star Wars fan. Han Solo, I guess, is really sticking with me there.
All right. I actually made fun of somebody at work today for being a huge Star Wars fan. I am too, but just made me laugh. Because I called something a robot, and he corrected me and said they were droids. And I'm like, come on, buddy. All right. Well, my day three pick, it was a no-brainer for me. I'm a pretty sentimental guy. Like, I taught English. Like, I'm a theater guy. Like, you know, I get weepy at movies. But I love when a team is able to take the best player available and fill a glaring need. The Philadelphia Eagles were in need for an inside linebacker. And in the fifth round, they drafted Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Now, first, his dad was a stalwart of the Eagles defense for 8 seasons during 3 different stints. He piled up almost 700 tackles during that time and was beloved by the Philly faithful. They loved Jeremiah Trotter. Now, the son of FIFO has returned. And now I know they signed Devin White in the offseason to a 1-year deal. N'Kobe Dean is on the roster, who there was a lot of hype for. But Dean has been a disappointment. He's only played 229 snaps in 2 seasons. Oft injured, unreliable. And I thought the Eagles defense really felt that last year. Now, I think this leaves that opening for Trotter to sneak in, get some playing time early if N'Kobe misses any time. And a big opening for next year when... even if Devin White plays well, I don't know if the Eagles have never been one to highly invest in the linebacker position. So if Devin White balls out this year, I don't know if they're going to be willing to pay what Devin White wants to get paid to stay there. So I love this spot. Call me a sap, but FIFO, baby. Welcome back to Philly. I'm just excited.
They definitely needed to fill that spot. You know, they had Shaq Leonard last year. They traded for, ended up, or not traded for, but picked up, who ended up being a disaster. You saw the second half of the year, that defense was just leaking. They were just bleeding out, just waiting for it to be over with. So I think it's a great pick. And if he lives up to, you know, half of what his dad was, I'd say that's a pretty solid pick.
Yeah. Yeah. 100% agree.
I wasn't a huge Trotter fan coming out, but that was a largely when he was getting like second round hype. And in the fifth round is linebacker 12, if I counted correctly, not including edge guys. Then that's a great value and sentimental. Could be fun. They have Devin White and N'Kobe Dean. Like, if White ends up being anything, they need like signal caller, more of the thumper type, or just Dean, or not Dean. White is more of the athlete. And that could be a cheap fill. So that late, I like it. I can like it.
Love the landing spot. And Joe, when you want the perfect landing spot, check out Expedia.com. We are thrilled to announce our new partnership with your one-stop shop for the best prices in the travel world, Expedia. With Mother's Day on the horizon, Expedia is the place to make it special for the mom in your life. Get 10% or more off at over 100,000 hotels worldwide and 30% off when booking a flight with your accommodations. Check out the link in the show description and get your next adventure planned today. Expedia. I'm experimenting with throwing in the name of the advertiser right at the end as this little button. I don't know. I'm going to play around. See how
it's pretty good. Very smooth.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But going back to my sentimentality. I'm saying that word wrong. Whatever. I really do try not to be a negative person. And, you know, we all talk about positivity and we have to be positive about everything. Yeah. They never shut up about it. But, oh, wait, that's me being negative again. Sorry. But I do try to be positive. I don't like talking negative about players, but there were a few picks that might have made me hang my head and cry a little bit. So, Joe, We're only doing one each, except for honorable mentions. Which pick made you shake your head?
I feel bad. This is a. I also don't want to be super negative, but there's one pick in the first round specifically that I just, and a trade up, I was like, what are we doing here? And it feels weird. This is a player who has a lot of hype, a lot of love, and a team who's done, how would you say the Kansas City Chiefs have done the last couple of years? Okay, pretty good.
Pretty good.
Three Super Bowls in 4 or 5 years? 5 years?
Fair to Midland.
Trading up for Xavier Worthy, what are we doing here? Like, I don't, it makes no sense to me. I had him as a third round prospect. A lot of other people out there had him as more of a second, third round type. Yeah, he ran a 4.21, broke the combine record. We all knew he was fast. If you ever watched a single Texas game, you knew he's fast. That got double counted. It's getting triple counted now. It makes no sense to me. This is a total heat check from the Chiefs, like when they took Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It's the same sort of pick. Like, is Xavier Worthy a gadgety player? Like, let's see what type of speedy receivers they've picked recently. Sky Moore, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, a free agent signing, Kadarius Toney, a trade. How'd those work out? A touchdown in the Super Bowl for a couple, yeah, but on how many snaps? Like, how many headaches, how many drops. And yeah, Worthy gets crushed for the drops more than he should. He played through a broken hand in 2022, I think it was, when he had a lot of drops. But there's still, he double catches the ball. He has to watch it in every time, which the speed, it's not functional, really. I think he tracks the ball atrociously, which he gets to Sean Jackson comps. And it's like, Sean Jackson was a center fielder out there. He was Ken Griffey when the ball was in the air. Like,
yes.
But Xavier Worthy is not that. Some people think he's fine there, but I don't see it at all. And maybe there could be a Quinn Ewers problem, which we can talk about that in 11 months. But and the speed, he's 165 pounds at the combine, which is probably him. And it's 169 at the pro day, where he probably bulked up a little bit. He was probably playing in the 150s. Like, this dude is, if he gets hit over the middle, he's going to get crushed. He doesn't break tackles. He can't really use him on in breaking routes and slants, crossers, because he can't break tackles. He's not big enough to. Is he gonna last? It's not what the Chiefs needed either. They needed an X, they needed a ball winner, someone like, I don't know, Adonai Mitchell, like Worthy's teammate. Now, to give the Chiefs some credit, they saved the draft with Kingsley Suamatia in the second round, mm-hmm. and Jaden Hicks, my safety one, in the fourth round. But so if you, it's a Lions thing from last year. If you switch the picks up, take Kingsley in the first, the second rounder, you take Hicks, and then Worthy with the third rounder that they traded, then okay, it looks better. But here, this is just such a heat check. It's like, what are you guys doing? Did you not learn? You have Marquise Brown, which shouldn't keep you from taking a good player, but there are so many other receivers here that fit a speedy receiver mold, but are more worthy of this high of a pick. But with more security, and this doesn't feel like, so this just feels very much like a heat check and like, oh, let's see what happens. Let's see if we can catch lightning in a bottle and get Tyreek Hill back. Whereas that's not what they need. It's like,
are you saying you don't like this pick?
I don't at all.
Okay. Okay. I just wanted to make sure I understood.
Superflex draft, I've seen him go 105 in Superflex leagues. That I think is insane. He's not going to have a volume either. So can you picture a world where this guy gets 8 targets a game?
No, not where he survives.
No. He's more than just a gadget, but he has legit wide receiver skills. And I was definitely too hard on him in the process. The third rounder grade was too harsh. I agree. But 28 overall, I don't know.
I think it's a little tough. Just they already have Hollywood Brown. And, you know, like you said, it's not that it's not a fit. We know that Andy Reid's going to rotate these wide receivers. He never keeps the same three on the field to do MVS, Tony, Sky Moore, who everybody loved last year. I think Xavier Worthy can be a good NFL player. But as far as fantasy goes, I do not think he's going to be what people expect him to be, if that makes sense. I do not think he's going to end up a wide receiver one. He might have some blow-up games, But I don't see it as far as the fantasy stuff. And we did this with CEH a couple of years where, I mean, Twitter melted down. We had Matthew Berry going nuts and CEH is going to be the best fantasy player of all time. He was an undersized running back who didn't actually run the ball and it just didn't work out very well. So I'm not near as hyped as other people are on Worthy. I think he's going to get, you know, obviously being with Patrick Mahomes, I don't know if they're just trying to add speed to break the cover two shell that people are playing right now, but I don't know. It's interesting. I don't love the pick either. I don't hate it, but it just I would love to see Patrick Mahomes with a legit big body X receiver, but that's just my personal preference.
Same.
Well, yeah, not going to argue with you. I agree.
There you go.
I agree. I was actually going to transition to mine, but I'm going to let you go next. Actually, no, you know what? I'm going to go next. I'm going to change this up a little bit. You know, you talk about a big body X receiver, and the guy on my list who is a big body X receiver or is going to play one is Keon Coleman. And he's my pick for one of my least favorite landing spots. He's stepping into the hole. Now, this is all the Bills. I'm not talking about Keon Coleman as a player. The Bills got rid of Diggs. And Keon Coleman got drafted to fill the Diggs role. But he's not Stephon Diggs. He can't do what Diggs does. And Diggs can readily beat man coverage. That's not Keon Coleman's strength. It's not what he does. And I just don't quite understand it. He's a big weapon. He has the skill set to be a contested catch guy, even though his numbers aren't always great on contested catches. But I'm not sure if he's going to be the guy who's going to be like the crutch for Josh Allen that he needs. Stephon Diggs took Josh Allen to the next level. And I feel like we're on the highway driving a manual and the Bills just downshifted. You're just left in the lurch because you have Shakir and Samuel are the next two best wide receivers, but they're both slots. Their next biggest weapon is Kincaid, who plays in the slot. Now, I'm not an offensive coordinator, but there's not a lot of slots, like roles to fill. Like you have two and they have three. So I don't know. I think Keon Coleman can be successful in this league depending upon how everything works out, but I just don't like this fit for him. I don't like this fit at all. I would actually love to have seen him in some place like Kansas City instead, being a big body X guy who can go and catch the back shoulder fade, or I don't know.
Yeah, like you said, I feel like he works best from the slot mostly, and that's all they have there. I like him. I think he can be great with Josh Allen, but I don't know. It's going to be hard for Joe Brady to piece it together.
Just for a consistent offense. Mm-hmm.
It didn't make much sense. You know, Brandon Bean, the GM, said he was going to play, you know, the position that he's played. It's totally different from what he played in a college. And they traded back, so they gave Kansas City Xavier Worthy. I know we just talked about the pick, but hey, we're going to hand you, you know, somebody we probably should have taken instead, possibly. And you get Keon Coleman, who's not fitting out of all these wide receivers. They had their, you know, pick of the litter. And I don't hate Keon Coleman. I think he's still draftable just because Josh Allen's there. But the fit doesn't make sense. I know Matt Harmon on Reception Perception, I think it was yesterday, talked about just asking him to do something he didn't do. And not only that, but go be the wide receiver one. It's like if I asked you right now, like say, Joe, who do you think is going to end up the wide receiver one for Buffalo next year? You know, they're more run heavy. You got Shakir, you got Curtis Samuel, you got Keon Coleman, you got Dalton Kincaid. Like, where do you go? Where do you even stand on that?
I feel like it's probably going to end up being Kincaid.
Well, if we took Kincaid out of the picture, then what?
Samuel.
Probably.
Right?
Shakir was great at the end of the year, though. So.
It's very...
I don't know.
But it's always the question, though, like you're asking, Jamison, was Shakir great at the end because Diggs was opposite of him, right?
Right.
Like, now that Diggs is gone, like, I don't know who they're doubling. I don't know who's getting the best corner. Josh Allen, I'm not the biggest Josh Allen fan, mostly because I'm a Jets fan and I hate everybody in my division. But
makes sense.
You need to give these quarterbacks an alpha receiver to give them an easy target. And listen, no target's easy in the NFL. I get that. But like, Jalen Hurts wasn't Jalen Hurts until A.J. Brown walked in. Josh Allen wasn't the Josh Allen we know until Stephon Diggs walked in. And I just don't quite understand when that player leaves. I feel like you need to replace them with somebody who has a, maybe not a similar skill set, but a skill set that you can, you know that they're going to be open when you're ready to throw the ball. And I don't know.
They're
I'm just worried that team's going to step back.
Yeah, they're asking him to play the X when he played big slot his entire career. So it just doesn't. And plus, they're, you know, leaning into running the ball with James Cook. We saw that the second half of the year. So I think it's interesting. Just
or Ray Davis.
Well, that as well. There you go.
Yeah.
So, but I just I think it's interesting for Buffalo, especially for Josh Allen. You know, he's been the QB1 for fantasy, and we know he's great. Unless, you know, JJ who thinks a little different than him, but. It'd just be interesting, this Bills offense in general, fantasy-wise, because that maybe you can get some value. Maybe we're overvaluing. I mean, we'll have to find out when the season comes.
All right. I know I jumped in front of you there, Jameson, but who is your least favorite landing spot?
It's all good in the hood, baby. So yeah. I'm not saying he's going to be bad for fantasy, but I hate Brock Bowers to Las Vegas. Really fun stat from Rich Rebar over at Sharp Football. Only one of the Raiders' last 15 first-round picks have signed a second contract with the team. That's pretty bad. So, just Brock Bowers, you know, he goes from either porn stash guy with Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew, got Michael Mayer, who they just drafted, and I think, you know, he'll obviously play probably the slot role over Michael Mayer. But, you know, he's got bad quarterback play, offensive line's not great. Luke Getsy's offensive coordinator. He was with Chicago last year where we saw the excessive screen passes with Justin Fields. Just going to call it how I see it. He sucks. I don't think he's creative enough, especially with a guy like Brock Bowers. And then you got Devontae Adams, who has been notoriously a target hog. So you have, I think it's going to be Aiden O'Connell who starts. But, you know, I think a lot of Gardner Minshew's magic last year was Shane Steichen being able to scheme up most of the stuff for him. I don't think Minshew's creator on his own. So bad quarterback play, bad offensive coordinator. Raiders been a poverty franchise for the last, you know, two decades. I just think it's a boner kill when people thought that, you know, you might get Brock Bowers to Aaron Rodgers or, you know, Matt Stafford talk about the Rams coming up and just, you get Vegas. And I don't love it. I think a lot of people have overreacted. I still think it'll be fine, but just as far as fantasy goes, just kind of sucks. I think we were more excited for anything else, and maybe they get a quarterback next year and things look up, but just kind of sucks at the moment.
Right. It's like putting a McDonald's cook in a gourmet kitchen.
Yeah, just not fun. Right? Could be a lot better. Yeah. Fine. It's fine.
I get it. BPA, but had so many needs that it's not like there were bad players there. So
yeah.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
I feel like I could rant about the Vegas franchise. I think that so stupid. The Tom Telesco was with the Chargers for a decade, and you know they were going to win the Super Bowl every season. Never came close. They finally let him go after three failed head coaches and Mike McCoy, the run guy,
Anthony Lynn.
Thank you, and then Brandon Staley, who stunk, and then he gets fired. And the Raiders, who have watched them twice a year for a decade, immediately. This is our guy. We got to have him. And I don't get it, but that's above my pay grade. Anthony or Pierce, the head coach, you know, the defense, especially over the second half of the year, really good defensively, especially in fantasy too. A lot of touchdowns and stuff, but I think this offense is going to blow. I'm just going to call it how I see it. Not going to sugarcoat it.
Don't. Please don't. Please.
I'm trying to behave. I'm trying not to go off the rails, but I'm starting to leak out a little bit.
I think it hurts Zamir White too. Like, they're going to want to run a lot, 21 personnel, but Mayer is a good blocker. Brock Bowers is a fine blocker, but it's not they don't have a Josh Oliver, like what Minnesota spent up for. They don't have a blocking tight end. It's like, this is going to be, it's a weird fit.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Maybe we're just crazy. Maybe they're geniuses and we just have to bask in their glory, but I think the season will tell us.
Maybe.
But gentlemen, we aren't done yet. I'm going to need at least one more honorable mention for both your best and worst landing spots. So, Joe, do you have an honorable mention for best landing spot?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Cowboys, who are getting crushed in this draft class, which I don't agree with. But Marshawn Nealand, the edge rusher out of Western Michigan. Yeah, he's raw, but I think he was one of my favorite players. He was like one of my top three just missed first round grade status. And I think he's nasty, violent. And now he's paired with Micah Parsons and Tank Lawrence. There is no pressure on him. He just has to go in there and just make some plays. He's going to have a good defensive coordinator in Mike Zimmer. Great coordinator, honestly. The scheme at Western Michigan couldn't even get him lined up on the line of scrimmage. He was always like a yard off and still caused some havoc. He's a really good athlete, a little stiff. He's not, I don't think he'll ever end up being like a 12 sack guy, at least not with, unless it's Micah Parsons and just going crazy and he's getting some cleanup work. But
right,
I think he could be a real threat in the run game too. High floor, maybe not super high ceiling sort of player. I think this is a great value for the Cowboys. I love it. I've seen him go undrafted in my rookie draft so far, or I have been the one to pick him in the fifth round. And it's like, okay, put you on the taxi for a year and then just be a Josh Sweat, Za'Darius Smith sort of player. Just like some great production, some really good production, edge 2-3, and profit.
Love it. Love it. Jameson, who is your honorable mention?
I'm going to go with one of my favorite running back prospects and Isaac Grendo going to the 49ers. I think there's nothing better than a running back in a Kyle Shanahan scheme. Christian McCaffrey last year, obviously running back one, but you know that went all the way into the Super Bowl. We've seen these guys with workloads the next year kind of fall off a little bit. Josh Jacobs, a perfect example. But outside of Elijah Mitchell, who has never been able to stay on the field, say if something happened to McCaffrey, I think Grendo is just, he's a three down back. The RAS score was off the charts. I mean, he tore up the combine. He's got top end speed. I know a lot of it didn't show at Louisville as far as production wise, but I really think that this is a home run spot for him as far as landing spot. And then, you know, he ends up being the backup just in case something were to happen. He fills right in. He can handle the, you know, full three down workload. And I just think it's a really good fit. And I just like it a lot. I've always been targeting 49er running backs or with Shanahan ever since, you know, he's been doing stuff at like Washington back in the day. So it's like, I just really like the spot. I feel like my guys, as far as the pre-draft process, all landed in favorable spots, like him, Xavier Leggett going to Carolina, I thought was a fun pick too, but like this spot a lot for him.
Yeah, and Mitchell and Mason are both final year, right? There'll be free agents after this year.
Yep. And Mason, I just don't, I don't think, but Kyle Shanahan every year drafts a running back. This has been his bread or butter, even if he needed one or not. So it wasn't surprising, but I thought he went a little, Grendo went a little, I guess quicker than I expected in the draft, but seems they must like him a lot to take him where they did.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, I guess for me, I'm going to go with another IDP, and I'm going to pick Edger and Cooper going to Green Bay. I mean, last year, Quay Walker and Isaiah McDuffie, they were 66th and 69th out of 82 qualifying inside linebackers, according to PFF. Although that might be nice, little joke, it's definitely not good. And in walks Edgerrin, right? Considered, if not the best inside linebacker in the draft, at least one of the top three rookies. Will he start? Possibly not. He'll have to earn the job, but I don't think it's going to be that tough of a hurdle to climb. I mean, Quay's under contract through 2025. McDuffie's a free agent after this year. To me, I think the future is very bright for Edger and Cooper. What he can do, even his pass rushing edge, right? That's going to help him. But I'm looking forward to drafting him and stashing him on some of my IDP rosters. I'm excited for Edger Cooper. And I like the name. It's a good linebacker name.
It is. You know how I feel about Cooper. He was my top linebacker by margin. Had him as a true first rounder. I love it. Love the spot. I think he's going to be better than Quay Walker relatively quickly.
Yeah. Me too.
I think that's a very fair assessment.
Well, I guess we got the positivity out of the way. Let's go negative again. Although I said we don't like being negative. That was our longest segment so far. So,
yeah.
Joe, what's one more bad? What is one more bad landing spot?
This, for me today, has been heavy on process and Texas. So, that is, this, goodness gracious. Not heavy on words, though. So, that's why I study numbers, everyone. Tavondre Sweat to the Titans, that, and it's not that, it's at 38. I think Sweat, I liked him. I thought there's some talent there for sure. It's very Jordan Davis-esque, but then limited snaps, limited work. He's not nearly the freak athlete that Jordan Davis was, but still freaky. But the character stuff, he got arrested for a DWI a week, 2 weeks before the draft, and you still took him at 38? I don't get it. It was weird. They definitely needed help at the defensive tackle spot, and they didn't have a third rounder. So if you're going to get your guy, go get him. But there's some other – Michael Hall Jr., Chris Jenkins, Dwayne Carter, Braden Fisk, if you're into that. Then even in the fourth round, you have like Dorlis, Boygi, later on Makai Wingo. There's a lot of guys there. Just this felt like an unnecessary reach. They could have gone double dipped at the O-line. Another receiver would have been a luxury pick, but you can still see it with their two wide receivers being older.
Yeah.
Linebacker, they hit on later, but could have gotten they could have gotten Edgerrin Cooper there. But I don't know. It was just process. It's like, I like Sweat, but it's a process.
What worries me is when you see a very heavy player, you have to hope that they are going to be very disciplined. Because it is hard to maintain that line between a big athlete and an overweight athlete. And when he comes out a week before the draft and gets busted for a DUI, does that show that he is disciplined? Does that mean he has his eyes on the prize?
And he's had the partying concerns throughout. It's something he talked about in interviews. And it's uncomfortable to talk about. We're obviously not experts in that field, but it just optics are bad.
Yeah. Especially for a player that, you know, he's been caught up near 400 pounds. So it's not like he's Vince Wilfork by any stretch of the imagination. DUI, you know, the Titans a couple years ago took Isaiah Wilson in the first round, who ended up being a major bust, and just kind of learned from that. Just seems like bad process. And as a brand new regime, you know, you got Brian Callahan, the new head coach, and it's not like they went on a run and they were going to be the last of the litter. They just didn't seem like the DUI and all the other stuff didn't faze him at all. And as far as just the actual player himself, his production was okay, but I didn't think it was anything to shake a stick at to take him that high either. I didn't think they had to.
You know, and just for the record, going back to what I said, like, I don't necessarily write people off for what they do in their early 20s, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. Drinking and driving is a terrible thing. But a lot of people have done it. Like, I'm not saying like to write somebody off because they made one mistake. It just shows a pattern that I'm a little bit wary of, you know, and I don't know.
Yeah.
That's totally just me being old. Totally. I get nervous a lot. All right, Jameson. What is your honorable mention?
I've got Jalen Wright for the Dolphins. I don't think it's a bad fit. I just think it's a very crowded fit. So you got Achan, who, you know, averaged 7 yards a carry. You got Mostert, who had a hell of a season last year. And then, you know, you also have Salvin Ahmed and Jeff Wilson. And, you know, the thing with Wright, he's just another speed guy. So it's not like you're getting thunder and lightning. You're getting Raheem Mostert, one time the fastest running back in the NFL. You got Achan, same thing. And that just, obviously, Mike McDaniel's got a specific type. So I just very crowded. I think it'll be hard for him to see the field, even with injuries. I think it'd be kind of tough, especially with Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, I think what I like about the landing spot is the fact, Jameson, that he has, Jalen Wright has a coach who knows how to scheme for speed. Yep. Like, he loves scheming for speed. So is Jalen Wright going to be used well? When he's used, probably yes. But you're right, it is crowded. It's a crowded backfield. It's going to be one of those things that they're always going to be fresh, and McDaniel's going to be able to roll them out however he sees fit. But it might give us fits, right? Mm-hmm. Trying to figure out who is the one to start. Now, you know, Achane hasn't shown that he can stay healthy for any strength of time. Mostert has had that same injury, same issue for a lot of his career. So there might be a door opening, but it's a big if.
Yep. And I do want to say,
my comp for Wright.
Oh, go ahead. I'm going to talk about something else. So you go ahead.
Okay. My comp for Wright actually was Raheem Mostert, like the prime version. But I do think there is a world where Wright does end up being the RB1 for Miami, even over Achane, even like 1A to Achane's 1B. But they traded a future third for him. So again, process, it's like, is this really what we're doing here? But I could see it working, but it's weird and it's crowded. It makes it kind of a stay away backfield, honestly, unless you're in a best ball league.
Yep. So, and the only thing I was going to bring up, I know this isn't Jalen Wright related, but Mike McDaniel got another one of his guys too. I just want to throw out there before we leave, and Malik Washington had a lot of good production in the ACC, another speed guy. And I think he ends up the wide receiver 3, probably right out of the gate. McDaniel pretty much told him, hey, we're going to have a plan for you. Just like we were talking about earlier with Wright, if you're giving up production for these guys, obviously Mike McDaniel is one of the better offensive coordinators in the league. And I think that's a late dart throw that's going under the radar at the moment. So try to end on some positivity here.
Well, I love that you try to end on a positive note. And just to reiterate, I'm not saying I don't like this next year or that it won't work. I don't understand how the Falcons in a win now mode, or what I thought was a win now mode, trade up and take Rook Oro. It's hard for me to say, over Johnny Newton. I saw them trade up. I don't know. I'd even have understood it a little bit more if like Dorless went in the second and they took Rook later. Like if you swap those picks. And I'm not a GM. I'm not a scout. I really don't understand this pick at this point of the draft. They have Jarrett coming off of an ACL. Onyemata is a solid player, although older. I know he's going to be a great mentor for Rook. But if I had to guess, this is a move for the future, right? You're investing on what's coming next, much like what they did with Penix. But why make future moves when you're built for the present? And I understand Arthur Blank doesn't want to go through another bad season, right? He's taking Penix because he doesn't want to ever be left without a quarterback. I can't really argue with that. I mean, I can, but I'm not going to really argue with that. I just, like, even if you're building, I don't know. I just thought Johnny Newton was a much better defensive tackle than Rook. And maybe they see something else in him that I don't see. I mean, Joe, am I crazy? And you could say yes. I won't take offense at it.
No, you're not crazy. I liked Uruhuro a lot, but I did not like it more than Johnny Newton. I think even at 35 where they took him, I feel like that'd be reasonable had Newton gone 28, something like that. But I think to trade up for him in pretty decent amount and to get the project, the Falcons, another process thing. It's like, I don't understand. Every move in the offseason was like, we're going to try to win today. But then the draft is we're going to win in 2026. I don't get it. I like him. I think he can be really good. I think he can be a great pass rusher, especially when Grady Jarrett moves on. But yeah, it's weird. Their injury stuff must have been really bad.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Maybe that was it.
But then that didn't stop them from taking Michael Penix. So who knows?
You can just say the Falcons don't make any sense. It just call a spade a spade. It doesn't make a lot of sense taking a project there. But I don't understand the Atlanta thing. I know they've gotten grilled, and we don't have to dive into the details of it. It just seems like they've wasted like their last five first round picks. I mean, I know we all love them as far as fantasy goes, but Kyle Pitts hasn't produced. Drake London hasn't produced for what you paid for him. Bijan, they didn't use enough. And then, you know, they're doing Penix, and just the resources just aren't making sense. And my only thing with Penix is, did they like him enough on March, 24th or 26th, when they gave $100 million to Kirk Cousins? Did they even know Penix was alive and a person they could have drafted then? Was that not part of the process? It just, that's my thing that I've struggled with. Were they, had they not done their homework on him? Because they said they didn't bring him in to talk. They saw him at the combine for a little bit, but usually when they bring these guys in, especially for first round picks, I mean, they know your teachers, they know your town mayor, they know your bloodline for the past six generations, and it just didn't make sense, but nothing Atlanta does. I feel like 28-3 just broke them.
Yeah, that's a true statement. Well, you know, something that isn't going to break me is Mother's Day. And Mother's Day is almost upon us, my friends. So don't get put in the doghouse with a boring gift. Trophy Smack has fully customizable belts and rings for the special mom in your life. Let her know that she's the best with a flashy token of your appreciation. And make all the world's best mom's coffee mug givers run and hide. We only have a few weeks until the big day, folks. So head over to trophysmack.com now and use the promo code IDPGUYS to get a free championship ring with the purchase of a custom trophy or belt. Check out the link in the show description and be a winner on Mother's Day. Trophy Smack. Try it very again. Good. All right, gentlemen, it is time for tags, where we share any final thoughts and let everybody know where they can find us. Joe, you're up first. Oh, with a mouthful of water.
Yep, got me there. You can find me at JoeLo63. I will be tweeting about fantasy football, Orioles, Star Wars, some other stuff, Bluey probably, crying about that still. You can find my work on IDP Plus, and I'll be writing about rookies, and you can find me and my good friend Justin Fry at JFryDP on the Mailbag Show on Tuesdays at 2 Eastern.
All right, Jameson.
I'm over on the Twitter machine at Jameson Rules. If anybody out there can help me with my college homework, please give me a call. I'm tired of it. But other than that, like I said, I'm just on the Twitter machine doing my thing, and catch me here. Rider Dynasty every single week, except for next week. I'll be gone hanging out with family. Yay. Yeah. So, but other than that, that's all I got tonight. Like I said, if anybody can help me with my homework, please give me a call. 812-228-9377. Please. I'm begging.
If it's not, oh my word. Your number's now out there.
Millions and millions of people.
You know, I'm a teacher. I could help you. I'd be willing to help you, brother.
Well, can you fake a government ID and be watched on a camera as me, as you do intro to IT?
No, but I am JJ Wenner on Twitter. Thank you to Joe and Jameson for all of their hard work on this episode. Special thank you to the whole crew at IDP Plus for helping produce the pod. Make sure you tune in next week on Wednesday to the All Out Blitz, where Doug and I we'll be discussing landing spots for tight ends and wide receivers. And then come back on Friday to check out the Rod Pod, where we, without Jameson, are going to be doing a two-round IDP rookie draft. Yeah, I'm excited for that.
Gonna have to
do a lot of homework. But from all of us to all of you, be safe. Be well, and as always, boat drinks, my friends, boat drinks.